one of meditation on tonight's study is, let us turn to Psalm number 90. Psalm number 90. Psalm number 90. If ever there is a psalm that should be read at least once a year, this would be the psalm. The psalm, a prayer of Moses, the man of God, starting from verse 1. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world. Even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men to destruction and say, return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night, you carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep, and in the morning they are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. In the evening it is cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us the number of our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O, satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which you have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. So we come to this familiar psalm, which is worth reading, as I say, at least once a year, in reminder of the truths that are taught there, and in particular, the truth expressed in verse 12, which may be regarded as the theme of that psalm. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Now, let me tell you two stories. Firstly, there is the story of a young boy who was sent out by his mother to buy some ingredients for baking a cake. And the mother gave the money to the son and say, go to the shop across the road and you must buy the sugar and the egg so that I can have these to bake the cake. I have the flour, I have the margarine, everything else. But what I need are some eggs and some sugar. So the boy went across the road, and there was the ice cream man who saw the boy holding the money. So the ice cream man rang his bell louder. So the boy was attracted to the ice cream man. So the ice cream man paraded his ware before the boy, and the boy was tempted to buy one, so he bought. So after he finishes, he sees that, oh, there is another type that is so nice, maybe I should buy as well. So he bought, and by the time he finishes the ice cream, to his satisfaction, he realizes that the money left over wouldn't be enough to buy the eggs and the sugar. Now imagine him going home with his head down, and of course he deserved a far off scolding from the mother, and the punishment is that the mother cannot now bake the cake for him and for the rest of the family. Okay? Now, the story there is that, you see, money simply spent on worthless things would mean that you deserve to suffer for it, and you also bring about a lot of unhappiness and inconvenience to other people. Then here is a second story. A mother went to the market to buy some mangoes, and she came back and kept the mangoes. She hid it very well. The reason was because she did not want the children to start cutting up the mangoes one by one as they ripen. So he wanted the mangoes all to ripen properly before the children eat them. But she forgot that she had these mangoes kept away. And 2 weeks later, she suddenly remembered. And she went and opened up the cupboard and found that all the mangoes were rotten. Now, she was very upset. You see, the money spent. And just simply because she did not want the children to eat the mangoes as they ripen. So she regretted it very much. She said to herself, in the future, when I buy mangoes, I will lift it in the open, and as they ripen, let my children eat. What is wrong? After all, that is the purpose of buying the mangoes. It's meant to be eaten. Now, the moral of the story there is that, you see, you may have all the good things that God has given you, but if you do not put them to good use, then they become rotten, become useless, you see. And all the gifts and talents and resources that God has given you, you just preserve. You value them, but you preserve them so well to the extent that you do not put them to good use. Now, applying these two stories to this psalm, what we want to say is that God has given us life, which is really precious. And life is accompanied by all the talents, the resources and opportunities given to us. So you have talents, that means you have abilities to do things. Then there are the resources available for you to help you make good use of your talents to God's glory. Then there are the many opportunities to serve God. Now what are you going to do with them? Now you can be with that, like that boy who did not value these enough, and you simply spend them in a worthless way. You spend your time in pursuit of things that do not count towards building up yourself or building up others, which are to the glory of God. But instead, you just squander away and spend and spend and use those in a worthless way. Your time, your money, your energy, your all the opportunities are gone, wasted. Now equally, we do not want to be like that mother. We value our life, our time so much. So we do not want to be troubled by people. What do you do with it? Now you preserve it, you keep it. You say, keep it for what? You keep it for perhaps one day, for use. But that day appears to be so far away. See, you are keeping it for the rainy day, you see. Keeping it until you really need to use them. But that day never comes, it appears. And then one day you realize that all the opportunities for using all your talents have gone. And all your life is just passing by. And you discover that you, although you value your life and all the talents God has given you, you have not actually used them as they ought to have been used. So what is the point? You claim that you value your life and the abilities God has given you. And instead of using them well, you have allowed all the opportunities to pass by. So those two instances show to us that we can wrongly value or use the life and talents that God has given to us. So this psalm reminds us afresh that we are to value our days well, our life on this earth well. Now in this psalm, we are given the perspective of life by being reminded of five things. Firstly, in verse 1 to verse 2, we are told that God is the eternal God. Never forget that. God is the unchanging one. All things are only temporary, and even the mountains, which will outlast most of us, outlast so many generations of people. Even the mountains were brought forth by God, and the mountains are not permanent, they are only temporary. God alone is eternal. And secondly, we are reminded of our mortality. Man is mortal. He will one day die. His days on this earth are so short. And this is in contrast to God, who is eternal. Verse 3 to verse 6. And you see now that the life that we have on this earth is really short if we were to compare with eternity. Now, if we realize that, another thing we must realize is that we have to answer to God after that. Now, even in this life, we are already answerable to God, but we know that there will be a judgment day. And so verse 7 to verse 11 tell us that God's holy anger is upon us even while we are on this earth. But one day we will have to give an account of ourselves. One day we will be judged by Him. And we know that those days are not long to go. Men's life are so limited. Our days are so limited. On the average we live to 70 years. And people claim that medical science have extended the lifespan of man. But you must understand what is meant by the lifespan of man. Is the lifespan of man insofar as prolonging our living days are concerned. But actually, the actual lifespan of man in general, have not been increased. So some countries are poor. Many people are stricken with disease. The average age of the people perhaps will be as low as 40 years old. And as the years go by, it increases to 50 and then 60. And in advanced countries with good medical care, on the average, many people will survive above 60 years old. And yet, you see, however long you live on this earth, you can't go beyond the average length of life of 70 years. So you're only prolonging your life span within the life God has given you. So God has given you this length, 70, at the most 80. It's very unusual to go above 80. This is the lifespan God has given you. So you're only prolonging your days within the lifespan God has given you. You have not been able to stretch that lifespan that God has given you. So you see now that you must be very careful when you talk about the advancement of science prolonging our lifespan. Actually, it's not our lifespan. It is actually the days that we live on this earth, which is actually quite different from the lifespan of the human race. So you see now that we will have to answer before God. And God certainly will have to deal with our sins because we have offended Him, we have broken His laws, and we have not worshipped Him as God. We have not sought Him as we ought. And therefore we need to fear because God is the eternal God. He sees all that we have done, whereas we are mere mortals, and we have to really answer before Him. Therefore, what is the conclusion of the matter? This is the fourth point. Seek peace with God so that you will be wise. Be wise and seek peace with God. We are told elsewhere in the Bible that the fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom. It is only when we come to truly fear God and come to seek reconciliation with Him, then when we come to be reconciled to God, we live for Him, then we are regarded as wise. We have God, our Creator, as our Lord. He controls our lives and we live to fulfill His wish. And that is the most fulfilling life. He being our Creator, He has the right over our life. He continues to sustain our life. He gives us all that we have. And He continues to give us all that we need. And surely we need to give our life to Him. We need to live our lives to His glory. It is not wise to go against our Creator. Therefore, being reconciled to our God and living to His glory is wise indeed. And for those who have come to be reconciled to God, they realize that it is only through the way God has created, has given to us, that we have been made to be at peace with Him. It is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. So hungry souls would want to seek refreshment from God, and it is only found in Jesus Christ. He is the source of living water. He is the source of life. We must come to Him. So Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Why did He come? He came to offer Himself up as a sacrifice for our sins. He has come to redeem us and make us to be at peace with God. So for those who have turned back to Jesus Christ, they find peace with Him. Now for such people, they do want to live for God, to glorify Him, and to seek His blessing. And so this is the fifth point, verse 13 to verse 17. For those who have become wise because they are reconciled to God, they want to live well for God. Living well for God means that you seek to glorify His name in every area of your life. Everything that you do to His glory. And you know that by yourself, you will not have the ability to do well for God. You will not have the strength to obey Him and to live for Him. And therefore, you need to seek His blessing. You need to seek strength from Him. So He wants us to glorify Him, and He has promised to be with us. So for the one who is wise, who is at peace with God, he would seek to obey God, but he knows his own weakness, and therefore he must seek God to help him in his walk with Him. And therefore, in all that we do, we desire God's blessing to be upon it. Otherwise, all that we do will come to nothing. Now imagine a person who is so full of zeal in serving God. Left to himself, he cannot fulfill all his heart's desire. So he constantly needs to pray to God to seek God's strength day by day. Then after he has accomplished everything, it will amount to nothing unless God gives him His blessing. So unless the Lord builds up His house, those who labor will labor in vain. And it is as we trust in the Lord and labor for Him that God is at work in us. So we must come to see that these are lessons on life given in this psalm. Now we want to consider three areas of our life in which this wisdom that we talk about in this psalm is so relevant. Look again at verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. A person who is reconciled to God knows that his days are now lived for God. Whereas before he was converted, he was so pessimistic, and he has to be pessimistic because he's without hope until he comes to faith in Jesus Christ and is reconciled to God through Him. And once reconciled to Him, he continues to value his days and number his days, but this time with a positive attitude. We are reconciled to our God. Our life becomes fulfilling, and we want to live every day well for Him. We do not want to waste a day. We do not want to waste the talents given us and the opportunities given to us. Therefore, we want to number our days now in the right way. We go forward seeking God's blessing on earth as we live to His glory. So how does this apply to your work and for those who are still studying, for your studies? Now, if you need to earn a living, you want to earn it well and in a proper manner, in a manner pleasing to God. You do not want to be like the worldling who is seeking material gain just for the sake of being rich, being wealthy, and being able to spend as you like or to hoard and accumulate. Remember the story of the boy and the mother who kept the mangoes. We do not want to earn money to enjoy and splash and ebb as we like. Neither do we want to earn money and grow rich, thinking that this money will be used in the emergency when the rainy day comes. But we want to live well because we do need to work. And we want to bear good witness in our place of work to show that we are hardworking people, principled people, who earn a living in an ethical way. Now, we do need to work, but we work to the glory of our God. And as a student, it is your duty to study and study well. You may not be the top of your class, you may not be the top of the nation, but if you have done well, then you are fulfilling your responsibility, because that is your responsibility as a student. That is your work. You have to do the best you can to God's glory. And at the end of the day, you can at least look back and say, I have done what I can. You can't do more. God has given you that amount of ability, that amount of time, that amount of energy. So you have used all this to the best of what is given you. And therefore, you can be satisfied that you really have lived to the glory of God. So do all things to God. Be a good witness to your friends, to your colleagues, that you are a hard worker and yet you are not worldly. Then applying this to the family, let us remember that family is a precious thing. And because we are in the family every day, under normal circumstances, there's a tendency for us to forget to value our time together, one with another, until the time comes when perhaps one in the family has to leave home for a long time. And certainly the time will come when children have to leave home. So make sure that while we are together, we value our time one with another. And so before your children leave home, value them, spend time with them. And this is where a daily time of family worship is so important and so valuable. Because the time of family worship gives you the opportunity to do something spiritual and edifying together. If you have no time for any other things together, at least there is this time together. From the time our children were young, we set a house rule that at least one meal must be taken together. And we tried to keep to that rule, even though as they grew up, they have all the school activities and so on. But we began to make dinner time the time when we should have the meal together. And that allows us to at least sit down and at least be in one another's company. And through having the meal together and having family worship together, we are able to spend some time talking. After family worship, for example, we'll spend about 5 minutes discussing issues of life. Perhaps there was some big news in the newspaper and we would raise that if it is relevant to us. Or it may be something connected with the children's hygiene and things like that. So along the way, so many issues have been raised over the years. So basically, what I'm saying is, value your time together. And parents would certainly want to prepare your children to leave home. You cannot cling on to them and love them in the wrong way like that. No, you have to allow them to go when the time comes. We don't want to drive them away too early when they are unprepared. But equally, we do not want to hold them with us longer than necessary. And that's why we have to prepare them such that when the time comes, they will be able to go easily. Now, our hearts will perhaps feel sad, but at least we know that we have done what we can to prepare them for this time when they are going. So in your time together, remember one another. Perhaps this past week you have come home without noticing your family members. And that can happen. You have not spent time to think of how they are. See, your parents, how have they been? Your brothers and sisters, how have they been? Your children, how have they been? We have to think of them. And much as we often say, you know, we don't want birthday presents or whatever, within the family, it is a good practice for us to remember one another's birthday. So you see now that it is important that you value your time together as a family. Then finally, your spiritual life. We have talked about family worship. Parents should be praying regularly for their children's salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. We can't force them to believe. That would not be true belief. We do not want to put undue pressure such that they are so hassled by you, and that such that one day when they profess faith, it might not be genuine profession. It might just be a mere profession and not a faith that flows out of genuine belief. It may be because of your pressure, the attempt to want to please you. We don't want that to happen, but we want to pray for their spiritual life. But God honors our consistent input into their Christian life. It's not a haphazard or last moment thing that you try to do for them. So that's why the daily family worship, if kept up over the weeks and the years, you discover that they come to a lot indeed. There will be one or two times here and there each week where you have to miss it. But if you try to be consistent, you discover that at the end of the year, you have covered so much compared to those who have never bothered with it. And this is all in order to lead our children to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, if you have not come to faith in Christ, you must realize that to gain a heart of wisdom, to number our days, to be reconciled to our God, means that we must seek peace with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now we can have everything in the world, good results, good jobs, and even a happy family, but when we are without Christ, everything comes to nothing. We know that there is life beyond the grave. Will we be able to meet together in heaven one day? It is a sad thing when father or mother becomes so old and he has to die. It's a sad thing when an accident happens and takes away one of your children. It's a sad thing when your children join the army and go and fight a war and die in war. You see? And by the way, rightly speaking, Christians should not hesitate to have their children join the army, and especially in a war situation. We have to be loyal citizens and good Christian citizens. And so when a war occurs, what would your reaction be? You see? Would you hold your children back and let others go and fight for your safety? That would not be right. Now, having a heart that is ready to let them go means that you are prepared for the possibility that your children may die in war. And when that happens, it grieves our heart. But if they have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our heart is at peace. We know that if the time has come, it has come. Because if you keep your child at home, a brick may drop on his head. The fan may drop on him. Or he may just be sleeping in his bed and never rise up the next morning. Perhaps his heart stopped breathing, stopped beating. Or perhaps one of the arteries in the brain just bursts quietly and he dies in his sleep. So you see, it is up to God to call your children home or to call you home. So that is where, when we have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can let go. We can commit everything to the Lord. When your father or your mother becomes too old and you know that sooner or later he's going to expire, you can let go. You wouldn't want to cling on because you know that they will be safe in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as our children leave home, the thing that comforts parents most is that they have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't be with them all the time. You can't take care of every single thing, detail of their life. They have to take care of themselves. Now, washing the underwear, drinking enough water. When they were at home, you constantly remind them of all this. But you see, when they are away, you can't be watching them all the time. So you have to let them take care of themselves. And even on occasions, they may fall sick. You would hope that they would call back and inform you. But you can't be around all the time. So at least we know that they are safe under the care of our Lord whom they have come to know personally. So you see now that we must seek to know God through faith in Jesus Christ. That is being wise. That is really numbering our days properly. And if we want to use our life well to be a good witness all round to our friends, our relatives, our colleagues and our neighbors. Think of other categories of people, but these are four basic categories. Our relatives and friends, our neighbors and colleagues. Think of their good. Think of being a good witness to them. Invite them to church. Talk spiritual things with them. Pass them a good, interesting Christian book to read. Now, we want to be involved in the life of the church as well. We want to serve the Lord. And the best way to serve the Lord is to be involved in building up His church. And you can't build up the worldwide church by running around doing a bit here, a bit there. The best way to serve the Lord is through the local church. Build up the local church. Contribute your share of building up that local church. And then from there, you serve the Lord wider and wider. Each person doing his part. And you see that you would have lived your days well on this earth. So these are some thoughts in regard to having a heart of wisdom as we number our days. Now, we take note again that verse 12 is a verse which is very appropriate for us to remember at least once a year. Read the psalm once a year if you can. And remember verse 12 often if you can. And perhaps make it a point from now on. Every time you celebrate your birthday, that night read through this psalm. Or that morning read through this psalm. And that night read verse 12. So it says there, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. May God really give us a heart of wisdom.